This is Going Public on KRCU, and I'm Marissa Ann Lewis-Thompson. If you're looking for a hotel room in Cape Girardeau on August 21st, sorry, you're out of luck. They've been booked to capacity for weeks, thanks to the highly anticipated celestial event of the year, the total solar eclipse. For the first time since 1869, Cape Girardeau will be in the eclipse's path of totality. It's one of the spots to be when the sky goes dark in the middle of the day. Brenda Newburn, Executive Director at Visit Cape, is here to talk about what you can expect. Ms. Newburn, welcome.
I appreciate you having me today.
So this eclipse has been the talk of the town. There are tons of watch parties and also additional events happening at the university and throughout the city. And I want to first talk to you about what's happening at the Cape Sportsplex. What can people expect?
Well, you can expect to have the middle of the night in the middle of the day. There's going to be temperature changes. The animals and nature around us will start to act differently because they will sense that there's something going on in our atmosphere.
Now, what types of activities will you guys have at the Cape Sportsplex?
Now, at the Cape Sportsplex, we're going to have a sound system that's going to play music that's going to be like eclipse, you know, the dawning of the eclipse, Aquarius. So we're going to be themed. We're also going to have a couple of food trucks there. The Continuing Education Center here at Southeast Missouri State has given us solar bead packets, so we're going to have those out there. We will be giving you safety glasses so that you can watch the eclipse safely. So you'll have eclipse glasses to those first 1,500 people, and we're going to give away T-shirts.
How big of a deal is this eclipse in the area?
You know, this eclipse is beginning to be just huge. I mean, it is the thing about an eclipse is there aren't any reservations. We don't get to ask for an RSVP. We have no idea how many people are going to actually show up. This I can tell you, though, Marissa, is that our hotels are full. There are no accommodations. If you were trying to book a hotel room on August the 20th, there's nothing available. So we're looking at thousands of people being in our area.
Thousands.
Thousands. I actually have gotten phone calls from a lady in Kennett, Missouri, and she has two family members coming from New York, four people coming from California, and two coming from Bowling Green, Kentucky, to see the eclipse. And she's going to bring them to Cape Girardeau. That's just one family of nine people, where she's the only one really lives in Kennett, but people are flying in from those distances.
And from what I understand, in other surrounding areas, there are people that are renting out farmland so people can see it.
Yes, because the thing about the eclipse, if you look at Eclipse Wise and you look at the different locations on there, it may be out in the middle of a field where you get longer totality. And that's what people want to see. They want to see that time where the totality is the longest. So you move it around, and those are those fields, open space, and it may show that's the best place. And so those true astronomers that are coming to view that eclipse, they can probably ask a farmer, can I have this plot of land? May go for a good price, too.
Well, timing is everything when it comes to this whole eclipse. So when does the main event happen?
At our Sportsplex, we're going to open the gates at 10 o'clock so you can start parking. And we've been fortunate enough to have our Cape Girardeau Police Department partner with us, and they're going to help handle that parking so that we can have ease of access and exit and making sure people move in smoothly. And then at 11:52 a.m., the eclipse begins. And this is a gradual thing that happens where the sun is going to move over the moon. And by 1:20 p.m., the total eclipse, totality, is at 1:20 at our location. Then it will begin to uncover, and it will last until 2:49 p.m. So as you can see, it starts at 11:52, but it's not over until 2:49. But the main event is at 1:20.
How does that make you feel? Like, is
nervous.
It one of those pressure moments where you're like, I hope everything goes right?
I hope everything goes right. I hope we have a large crowd, but not a crowd that we can't accommodate. I hope that it is not a cloudy day in Cape Girardeau, Missouri. I mean, we are in Missouri, and you know that weather can change on a dime. So I'm hoping that we'll have clear blue skies and everything will go well.
Well, we've been talking about the amount of people that are coming here, and some of those people are eclipse chasers. Were you surprised that eclipse chasers one existed and that they're coming to this specific area to capture this moment?
Yes, I am very surprised. Last year, when I first heard about it and went out to do research, there was actually a gentleman that's an eclipse chaser who was driving the interstate and stopping at locations to see what the sky looked like, where it would be, what, you know, what the visibility was like in that area at that time, and calculating our weather. Again, I think you're in Missouri, but he was here doing that and taking the whole drive to see how it would be along the eclipse line. So yes, very shocked, very surprised, very I guess engaged and learning. The knowledge is just unbelievable, the things I've learned about it.
What is the weather supposed to be like that day?
It's supposed to be in the high 80s to 90s, low 90s, and it's supposed to have some clouds.
Which might be a tad problematic.
We're not even going to speak to it, Marissa. It's going to be a clear sky. We have to believe that it's going to be a clear sky. If it does have clouds, true eclipse chasers and astronomers will be in their vehicles headed for the blue skies. And talking with those people of that nature, that'll happen. So, but the people like myself and others that will still experience the darkness, but we just won't get to see that really good view of a nice eclipse.
Well, for those that want to watch the eclipse from the comforts of their homes, do you have any particular tips for them?
I would tell them to go out and make sure they purchase their glasses. And I do understand that they're being sold at Lowe's. I think they're being sold at Walmart and Annie Laurie's. And also one of the eye care specialists is selling them also for a donation. So I'd say get your glasses. And then when the time comes, just step out into your yard and look at it. The thing about the glasses is to make sure that you wear them during the progression to totality. During totality, you're allowed to look at the sun without your glasses. But then once it starts to descend, then you need to put them on again.
Now, are there going to be some fun things for the kids to do if they're a little on the antsy side and are having a hard time waiting around for it to actually happen?
That's where the eclipse beads come in, because they can make their little bracelets and put things on them and then kind of watch to see what's going on with the sun and how they change colors and what effects it has. But that's about all we'll have for them. So parents, bring blankets if you bring in little ones, and some toys for them to play with.
And this is the first eclipse in a long time in Cape Girardeau.
Yes. It shows that what the best information we have is that the last one was 1869.
That's a long time.
Yes. Uh-huh. That's a long time. Now, we're supposed to have another one, though, in 7 years. So the way I look at this one, this is our rehearsal for the big party when we will have totality that will last over the, I think at the 2 minutes, we'll be more like that 4 minute. We'll be directly on that line.
Do you have any sense of what that eclipse was like back then from different records or documentation about what the city was like when that first eclipse happened?
I actually don't. I wish I knew, but no, I have nothing about that. But I've actually heard tapes from other eclipses. When you go, and I would recommend anyone, go out on the website, look up eclipsewise.com, and hear the reactions of people that have been in the eclipse when they've been in a site and actually experienced it. It is, from what I can tell, a very impactful situation.
And this is your first time.
Yes, ma'am.
For a lot of people in this area, it might be their first time as well.
Exactly.
And I'm a realist. I tell anyone, you know, I don't put off what you can get to done today, tomorrow. You know, I could say that, oh, I'll wait and do it the next time. But what if you have a business trip and you don't happen to get to be here during the next one? You know, what if you move, or who knows? Anything can happen. So if you're in the area, I suggest step outside, get prepared, and watch the eclipse. It is actually a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And the other thing about eclipses happen on a regular basis. They really do. Only thing is they don't happen over populated land masses all the time. A lot of times it may be out in the Asian Sea, or, you know, or out in the middle of the ocean, or up across the Alaskan mountains, places where people, you know, can't get there easy to visibly see. That's why I think this is such a big deal for us to be across the whole United States, where that eclipse is going to spread, and there are so many opportunities in populated areas for people to actually view a total eclipse. So it's not something that happens every day.
Well, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
That was Brenda Newburn, Executive Director at Visit Cape. After the break, how Southeast Missouri State University and Perryville are celebrating the eclipse.
I'm Ari Shapiro. If you find NPR reliable and comforting, you're not alone. If your old car is a bit less than reliable, well, you're not alone either. Donate your car to us and turn it into the programs you love.
Visit KRCU.org and click on support for all the details.
We're back with Going Public on KRCU, and I'm Marissa Ann Lewis-Thompson. We've been talking about all the happenings surrounding the total solar eclipse. KRCU's General Manager Dan Wood sat down with Southeast Missouri State University President Dr. Carlos Vargas to talk about the exciting activities the university is doing to celebrate the upcoming eclipse.
Let's kind of tell folks what the university is doing related to it, and how just the broader community can even get involved and come learn more and participate in some of the events that are being held on campus.
Yes, we're excited about that. I think, interestingly, I am glad that we really got into this kind of activity, and that we started planning early enough. Even when we started planning, I felt that we were a little bit late. But having said that, we're moving along well. The level of enthusiasm that I observe is really growing tremendously. Now you're hearing people in the community talk about that. As a matter of fact, I was in a meeting of the Chamber of Commerce the other day, and one of the members, one of the businesses, actually said that they were planning on taking time, because it's going to take place close to the lunchtime. It's, you know, after 1 o'clock or so. They're going to actually take that opportunity to have sort of a picnic kind of thing in the company. So they're going to encourage people to come out and take time, and they're going to give them some of those glasses to be able to see. You should not look at the eclipse, at the sun, without some protection. And so I think the community in general and the businesses are starting to get interested in it. The university, we are doing something really exciting. We are bringing here a very well-known scientist. He's a physicist from the City University of New York that has been in the news quite a bit. He's been shown on TV. He has a number of books that he's written. Some books are for just the general public, and of course he does have some expertise in the physical. He's a theoretical physicist. Michio Kaku, K-A-K-U, he is the name. That's the name of the individual. He's going to come, and he's going to be giving a presentation at the end of the day on August 21st. And that's going to be the first lecture in our lecture series that the university has every year. So that evening, and right now you can get tickets free.
It's free ticket, that's right.
Yeah, so that's I encourage anybody who is interested in attending that lecture to actually get their tickets at this point. Now, of course, the ticket is not that expensive. It's $10, so... If they buy the ticket, that's very good, because those funds go to create scholarships, actually, for students. So that's very useful. Now, we're also going to have an astrophysicist from Pennsylvania who is going to be here, Dr. Philip Reed. He is going to be visiting us. He's going to bring with him a couple of solar telescopes. These are telescopes specifically designed to be able to see the sun. And he's going to be here. I think at this point we're scheduling a lecture by him on Sunday, so the day before.
Day before, okay.
Sunday afternoon for the public and students from the university. And he is actually well known, and interestingly, he is actually a co-author in a very recent article in Nature magazine. Nature is a well-known scientific magazine, and to be published in an article there is quite an accomplishment. So he does a lot of observations in a telescope at the university where he is at. And so he's going to be somebody worth listening to.
So a lot of things, and I would just note to your listener, if you're listening right now, that to find out more about all of these activities, eclipse.cmo.edu is the website, mm-hmm. and all of this information is there.
Yes.
And I believe the university is going to be closed and offices closed, no classes from what, noon to 2, I guess, on that
That's
day, I
correct.
Think?
That's correct. Yeah, we thought that it was, considering it was the first day of classes, lots of activities going on, we're going to have normal, I think we're going to close normal street in front of the UC and the library and in front of Academic Hall, because there's all kinds of things going on at that point, and we want to take this opportunity to promote an environment of sort of welcoming institution for the new students that are coming in. So we're going to be doing that from 12 to 2. There's going to be no classes. And most offices are going to be invited to actually come out and take the opportunity. We're going to have a lot of activities on Hauk Stadium. There's going to be a launching of a couple of hot air balloons. These are not with people. I mean, these are
no rides.
No rides. This is just balloons that are going to carry experiments. These are one of our recent alumni actually is working for NASA, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, and she helped us through the College of Education. We got actually Dean Diana Rogers Atkinson was able to get a grant to invite schools K-12 schools to come and witness the launching of the balloon. So it's really very nice, very exciting.
So a lot of activities. And again, eclipse.cmo.edu is the place to go to find out all about the eclipse events happening here at Southeast Missouri State. Dr. Vargas, we run out of time, and I want to thank you for taking time out of your schedule to come by and talk with us today.
Thank you. This was very enjoyable, increasingly enjoyable.
All right. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
That was KRCU's General Manager Dan Wood speaking with Southeast Missouri State University President Dr. Carlos Vargas. Perryville has also found a unique way to commemorate the eclipse. KRCU's Lindsay Grogene has more.
With the Great American Solar Eclipse only weeks away, cities and towns throughout Southeast Missouri are prepping for one of the biggest events of the year. Perryville, one of the places that falls right into the eclipse's pathway, prepared to celebrate the event by installing the base of a sundial on the city's courthouse lawn Tuesday. Trish Ertzfeld, Perry County Heritage Tourism Director, says they wanted something symbolic the community could reflect back on.
We thought a sundial was the perfect monument that everyone could enjoy and come back and visit time and time again. And while they do that, they can also reflect back on the eclipse.
The base of the sundial is made from limestone, which is the same material as the foundation of the courthouse. Three plates will be installed around the base commemorating the eclipse and teaching visitors how to read the dial. The sundial's designer, Abraham Moeller, will set the dial plate on August 18th, and the full monument will be unveiled at 11 a.m. on August 19th during Perryville Solar Fest. For KRCU, I'm Lindsay Grogene.
And now for some state news. The court fight continues 8 months after Missouri voters approved a constitutional change known as Amendment 2, which put in place some campaign finance restrictions. St. Louis Public Radio's Joe Manis has more.
Missouri Attorney General Josh Hawley is asking a federal appeals court to restore the amendment's ban on political action committees transferring money between each other. He argues that the ban is needed to prevent donors from using PACs to skirt Amendment 2's donation limit of $2,600 for candidates for state and legislative office. A federal judge tossed out the ban in May, saying it violated free speech. But Hawley says banning PAC-to-PAC transfers is needed so the public can see who is actually donating money. His staff wants the dispute settled before next year's statewide elections. I'm Joe Manis.
That music means that's it for today. To hear the stories from today's show, visit krcu.org or go to iTunes to hear this podcast. I'm Marissa Ann Lewis-Thompson. Join me Friday nights at 6 and Sundays at 3 for KRCU's Going Public.